We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking plain defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. Follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Definitely subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Overcast, and we'll soon be on the Dash Radio app. So keep an eye out for that. I think that's next week or the week after. It's coming actually this time. There's a schedule. There are folders that have been created. So keep an eye out for more information on that. Be sure to download the app too, please and thank you. AlmightyBaller.com is the website. Zardcast.com will get it done as well. A couple things getting into tonight. A lot of Wizards talk, of course. No Gary tonight, but I do have my good friend Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Who needs Gary when you got Dave?
You know what? We got to rip into him a little bit. We'll do that later.
I'm happy to do that.
I can't wait. Also, though, for the first part of the show here, on the line, Truth About It's Adam McGinnis, friend of the pod, friend in real life. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Of course, of course. We had you on here at the beginning of the season, and I think it was like in November or like early December, and it was
was it after the Sixers loss? I think it
yes.
was, right?
And we got, I mean, we were drinking like a little bit over here, but like things got like really rowdy and angry, so hopefully tonight.
It was dark yeah. times at the beginning of the season, that 2-8 start of the Washington Wizards, before it all turned around like ponies and rainbows. Remarkable.
We'll get into those ponies and rainbows in just a second here. Quick kind of housekeeping here at the top of the show. So next week, I know it's not quite opportune timing, but I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to the island of Antigua. Yes, it's pronounced Antigua.
Nice.
I was going to ask why you had the pronunciation written out here. It's not Antigua.
No, and I've been a jerk. I've been yelling at my girlfriend and her family and being like, you guys say it wrong. But if you go on Wikipedia, it's definitely Antigua. Hmm. So,
well, how about you suck? How do I pronounce that? That sounds like a fun time, man.
Yeah, it should be good times. I'm going to do the pod, though, from vacation.
Oh, wow. Yeah. International style, huh?
Yeah. First time we've ever done it. So we will, I was eyeing up a guest for next week, but obviously that's not going to, I don't know. I don't want to risk the bandwidth and any problems that might arise. So just me, Dave, Gary. And then after that, my plan is to record after every playoff game or just about all of them. But the other thing is I won't be back until Sunday the 16th. The playoffs start on the 15th. So if the Wizards happen to play that day, no pod, maybe something. Maybe I'll record something solo. Who knows? But definitely, you know, 16th, if they play that day, that night, I'll definitely get something done. Dave and I will discuss. And we'll start rolling on that. So very excited. We did that a couple years ago when the last time the Wizards were in the playoffs. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of new listeners, a lot of people hopping on board. So I'm very, very excited for that. So stay tuned for more information on our plans for the postseason. And at Zardcast on Twitter is the best way to do that. But in the meantime, we've got a guest here. We've got a lot to discuss. As I said before, Adam McGinnis, Truth About It. Pixel and Roll, his Wizards podcast,
yes.
too. You should
yes.
listen to that.
I was thinking about interrupting you to pump my own podcast, but I didn't know the etiquette. I didn't want to be JaVale McGee shooting a three-pointer at the end of the game. So I wanted to keep stay in my lane while I'm on somebody else's production.
No big deal, man. Anything else you want to plug there? Is your Twitter handle at Adam McGinnis?
Yes, McGinnis. Yeah.
Right on. Okay. So as we said before, Adam, dark times the last time you showed up on the pod. It's been an emotional roller coaster. This is the best Wizards team in 40-ish years. I mean, pretty close to it. How have you...
I have one question. Have you purchased your division championship gear yet? have you?
I can't say that I have. Although,
Dave,
I would,
Dave, Dave, are you eyeing anything out online there? A hat, t-shirt, are you going full flag, banner? I don't know. What are you thinking?
I was thinking of keeping my costs down a little bit, maybe just making something myself.
Yeah, I say that in jest. It's funny because I keep making these jokes about division title, but it does go back to it is the fact that this is the best team, like you mentioned, since 1979. They still have a chance here. If they win three of the last four games, to win 50 games. I think that is more of an accomplishment. I think that's something we can point to more so than the division banner. But the fact remains, this team has not put anything on the board since being a wizard, since being the Wizards from the Bullets, which is weird to say because nobody really cares about divisions, but it is, you know, they do count, right? I mean, they do decide. They don't decide anything, but you know, playoff positioning, it doesn't really matter per se. But there, it is actually like, oh, did you win your division? Yes or no? Correct. And they did, and I think it also comes into the fact of what you mentioned of how this team has been able to turn this around from a 2-8 start, you know, a phenomenal January, playing one of the best ball in the NBA going into the All-Star break. You know, they've struggled a little bit since the All-Star break, but, you know, they had a successful road trip previously. This last one, not so much, but a little tougher competition. But, you know, hey, they're right where they want them to be. I mean, they are tied for third in the Eastern Conference. Now, if you would have said after that Sixers game where me, you, Dave, who else? Who's the guy not here?
Gary.
Gary. He says least words, but he had some one-liners, and we were just sitting there talking about how Joel Embiid didn't play and what's going on with his team. And, yes, I think there was drinks being flowed, and everything just was bad and bad and bad. And if you go from that moment, you would say, like, hey, we have a shot to beat the Cavs in the playoffs potentially if experts would actually maybe pick us, and that this team is going to have home court advantage in the playoffs in the first round, and that they have maybe a shot to advance to the finals potentially, like it's not a long, long shot, we would say no effing way, right? So yeah. So from going from that to here, I feel you do have to be have a positive feeling as a Wizards fan.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's been a wild ride. How's it impacted your life, man? Is it? I feel like you are. You know, you're a high energy guy. You sometimes on Twitter, you're swinging back and forth between these emotions. But do you feel like in your personal life, you know, your relationships, it's boosted that? I mean, this is something that we haven't. None of us have ever seen in our lifetimes. Like it's pretty wild.
You know, I think that what really changed it around. You know, I've been blogging, covering this team consistently since 2010, and. And the first playoff run, when I first had, you know, I went from the conversations, and I think I even mentioned this before in your podcast back in the day, the first time I was here years ago, where I went from like, oh, you write on the NBA team, that's cool, and they'd be like, oh, they're really bad, right, the Wizards, right? I mean, it'd be like your average person, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, your random friend or coworker would come up to you and be like, hey, I saw the Wizards are doing really good this year. they were like, how are things going? Or they, you know, haven't seen a game, they don't know anything, someone said something or whatever. And so that was the first time where, wow, like, oh yeah, they're kind of relevant. You know, they win those playoff series and we were more invested. I haven't really seen that this season personally. I do have fans or friends that are more closer to me. And there is like, oh, wow, they're doing better, you know, because last year they make the playoffs. And now it's almost like it went from like they didn't make the playoffs, they made the playoffs. And now it's like, oh, how are they doing? Not as good. So this year it hasn't, you know, if they beat Cleveland, right, and they become a national story here coming up, I think I'll have more of those random people come out of the woodwork to me personally because they know what I do. But in my personal life, yeah, it has been one of those like, is this really happening kind of feelings? You know, is this team really in, you know, a 6-week stretch, the best team in NBA? You know, and you watch these games over and over. And I think that really that shifted to me personally. Maybe you both can speak on this, was when they were just not playing poorly. Are they not playing well? They'd be playing poorly. It's like, all right, you know, someone that's wrote about this team for so long and be like, oh, I can write my game recap. Here it is. It's already over. I can say, you know, the run in the second quarter, they collapsed it in this. And it'd be like, nah, they just turn around in the fourth. Or they would, you know, play poorly, hang out, and just close out. John Wall changed his whole mindset this year of closing out games and hitting big shots that we had not seen out of him, even when he had, you know, reached Arsenal level. And it became like a comfort where anytime when the Wizards were playing poorly, that I still felt they would win if the competition, you know, wasn't Golden State or, you know, somebody like that. But then you also see it manifested on the road trip I was mentioning in the first run, was like when they're just getting crushed by 23rd, 27 points and coming back and win. You know, and so you're like, oh my God, now they're not just, you know, playing poorly and finding a way to pull it out. They are now getting their ass kicked and being that team that comes back, which is the opposite we've ever established of this team, where we're the ones that blew the leads, right? And so that was the feeling of like, am I becoming comfortable now? Like, so that's not what you're expecting to win. I'm also expecting this team to always be in it. And that is such a funny feeling to ever have as a Wizards fan. I mean, that's why so Wizards exists. You know, we haven't had success like we were discussing for so long, that has been more the adjustment of this good play of this team under Scott Brooks, which is this weird feeling of like, yeah, we're good, right? Like this team. I mean, I don't know. We'll find out here in the next month or two how good this team can be, but it was not a fluke. Like this is an actual team that can play offense and defense at an elite level. And we have just never seen that as Wizards fans in the John Wall era and potentially ever in our lifetimes, which is weird to say that superlatively, but I was just curious of your own feelings upon this team.
Yeah, I think this year has been, you know, they'll probably win. I think the most they won in the two playoff years was 44, maybe
46, okay. Yeah, 44, 46. Yeah.
So, we'll win, you know, 3-4 more games than that. But I think the biggest step forward for this team and the biggest kind of story about it is that it's a validation of what all Wizards fans thought going back to, you know, after that Bulls series where we said the ceiling for this team is really, really high. And ever since we lost that Atlanta series and then, you know, missed the playoffs last year, there's been some doubt creeping in, I think, is, you know, can they really get to that level? And they've been, and I think most of this credit has to go to Scott Brooks, but they've spent so much more of their time playing at that really high level, which I think, yeah, just validates everything the last 3 years of being a Wizards fan.
Okay. You know, what I want to say, too, is that when I'm criticizing the team, kind of, it's like nitpicking. It's not like fundamental criticisms, right, of like Whitman ball or why are we shooting so many long twos? We need to shoot more threes, right? Or like, and now it's just like, oh, Scott Brooks leaving the starters in too much when we're winning, which is just a completely different narrative than we've ever seen covering this team or following them.
Yeah, it now feels like you're watching a really good team with some flaws, some bad habits, instead of a team that is primarily flawed that has some moments of brilliance here and there.
Yeah, and when I say those, you know, when you look at, you know, how will they do against the Cavs, the Raptors, and the Celtics in 7-game series? I mean, yeah, all those are going to be tough, and you can say pros and cons of any of them. But it isn't like maybe even when we were the team was successful in those two other postseason runs. I mean, I do think that if John Wall doesn't get hurt, they beat Atlanta. But I don't think they beat Cleveland either of those years, correct?
No.
And so, like, but now you can find a scenario that they can. And they've kind of proven it during the regular season in certain situations. And that is something else that is different, which makes it this postseason very exciting. But also gives a level of expectations, which makes Wizards fans still nervous.
Oh, yeah. This could definitely go in a really negative direction. There's no doubt about that.
Well, let's talk about those negativities, maybe some apprehensions. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the team not getting enough rest, playing repugnant defense. What are you... do you have any of these bad feelings, any of these bad vibes deep down inside, or are you feeling much more confident?
I broke down the defense, and, you know, especially since the All-Star break, they were playing, you know, some of the worst defense in the NBA, and I was looking at the stats and trying to figure it out, and teams were shooting, like, so well from three-pointers against the Wiz since the All-Star break, like, some of the highest percentages in the league. And then if you actually drill down into it, for some reason, like open threes, teams were hitting open threes against the Wizards better than any team in the NBA. But like when the Wizards would contest them, you know, from 2 to 6 feet or 6 to 10, like, or, you know, when the contestants were closer, then it wasn't a higher percentage. So you feel like that can maybe come down a little bit. You know, that's just looking at the numbers, but like the turnovers, or you look at fast break points, or, you know, points in the paint or anything else, it was kind of on the season average. And so you're just like, what is happening? You know, and so you're looking at the analytic numbers. Now, looking at from just aesthetically, you know, you saw where they would just, you know, hey, a lot of it was on the starters. I mean, the starters have not played as well as they had early in the season, especially on the defensive end. And it's kind of weird to say that because we have always, this team is bugaboo, especially at the beginning of the season before they made the additions of, you know, trading for Bogdanovich and you know, acquiring Jennings and kind of benching Burke and reshaping the second unit. It's the second unit. The reserves have played pretty well. You know, Jason Smith has found a fountain of youth of now shooting threes. And now the starters have been slipping. And Markieff and Gortat, it seemed like they're in a funk. And Beal and Wall just aren't playing as well as defense. And Porter had a mini slump here. And so, you know, yet I still have faith in those guys because they have been consistently one of the best five-man units in the league. But, you know, if there is some concern, it's how those roles have kind of flipped. And so can we get them both on the same track? Can we get the starters playing as well defensively as they did and offensively? And can we get this same bench second unit consistency that we've seen over, you know, the last month? And so it's like meshing those two things. Now, the thing about the defense, which is true, you know, they were trying to outscore them, especially in that road trip that was wild. And even this one, I mean, that Clippers game was insane too. And you know, the Clippers put up, you know, crazy numbers, and, you know, Golden State, I mean, Clippers scored 133, Golden State put 139, but also those are the top two of the top four teams in the West, right? And so you're also like, okay, but then you would see teams like, you know, Phoenix put a bunch of points up against them, right? Or the Kings put a bunch of points up against them. And so that's where you got these worries and concerns, is that they're playing poor teams and giving up a lot of points. Not as much as when you saw a high elite team. And, you know, how much is travel? How much is being in LA for 4 days? I don't know why the schedule makers want to put a bunch of young millionaires in Los Angeles, California for 4 days for two games. Thank you for that. You know, they got a lot of Team Z action. Thank goodness that there was an altercation off that one club. And, you know, Gortat, the best joke I saw, Gortat entered that car with three women. Was it the first time Marchand's ever been triple teamed? That's a joke out there for the people. I thought that was funny. But going back to the concern of the defense, I think that maybe that gives me hope is about, like, teams will miss less open threes. Hopefully the Wizards will have more strategy to create less chances of open threes. And that when you're bunkered into a seven-game series, I mean, you're focused on, like, these are your assignments of these teams. This is their strengths or weaknesses. We play them for seven games. That's so much different when you're playing a team and traveling. They're coming in and out, right? And so you can kind of make your adjustments on the fly. We've seen that play out over postseasons where certain teams, like the Raptors, who gave the Wizards trouble in regular seasons, and then we whooped their ass and swept them. You know, and so you can maybe – I'm just hoping that can maybe – be something that positive that you can look at to not be so worried about the numbers. And then also talking about the defense. Here's the thing about the defense. The Cavs have been the worst. It's like the Lakers, the Cavs, and the Wizards have played some of the worst defense since the All-Star break. So, you know, I mean, the Cavs are a mess. So, you know, that's still, to me, the team they got to beat. So, hey, I mean, that also gives you another context to think about when you're like, if you're worried so much about the defense, to realize, like, hey, the Cavs just have it just as much, and they have way more pressure on them than the Wizards do on themselves.
And I think, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I would be much more worried if the offense had gone in the tank in the second half.
Yes.
Because this core group has been a good defensive team for 4 years now. They've got a long track record of it. Even last year, after they got Markieff Morris, we were one of the best defenses in the league. So I think they've got a pretty long history. They know how to defend. But the offense has been there, you know, great offensively all season. So I would be much more concerned if the offense had gone in the shitter, but that's never really happened.
I'm also not too, I don't think I'm too worried about the defense. I think the way things have kind of shaken out over since the All-Star break and then into March, you know, they had the toughest stretch of their schedule all season. I mean, they were able to take care of business on the one West Coast road swing, and then not so much on the other one, but a lot of games and a condensed amount of time, a lot of traveling. And I think it was, I mean, if they didn't get the bench in order, like, this team would be sunk, I think. For sure. I think that it is probably the biggest takeaway from this whole thing. So I'm with you, Adam. I'm not worried. You know, they're going to be locked in for the playoffs. Same team. They got a day, at least a day between every game. So not too worried. Very confident in their abilities to take care of business, hopefully at least in that first round.
I think it's just like the matchups, right? I mean, it's weird in the sense that I was discussing – you know, I'm more focused, and maybe I'm ruining the script or what you want to talk about, but what I was going to say is that, to me, I've just been focused on so much of, you know, it is about where they finish, and I was thinking about it the other day in the sense that, am I sitting here thinking of, like, the Wizards have home field for the first round clinched, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not they should avoid the defending NBA champions in the second round, or do we want to beat the NBA champions in the second round? Because I think they can beat them, maybe more than Boston. And I can't believe that I was actually thinking that that was like an analytical, like, wise thought to have. Like, it was believable.
I mean, we talked about that for 10 minutes
as a thought experiment. Like, it was actually like, yeah, right? Like, don't you think that we match up? I think we match up well against Cleveland. I mean, we just kicked their ass in Cleveland. We should have beat them if LeBron doesn't hit that fluke three, which looked like he was out of bounds, if we review it. And we seem to have, with Oubre and Beal and Porter and Wall, way more athleticism on the wings. And if, you know, if Mahimi and Gortat and Markieff can match up with LeBron or, you know, take some fouls here, you know, as long as Kevin Love and Thompson don't dominate them, I just don't see anyone else I just don't see the matchup problem happening for the Wizards when they play the Cavs. Whereas when I look at Boston, yeah, they don't have the internal size with the way Cleveland does, but they have so many strong wings with Smart and Bradley and Crowder, and they don't like each other. And there's Thomas out there. You know, yeah, Thomas got some defensive liabilities, which benefits the Wizards, but so does Kyrie, right? So it just feels like the Boston maybe is the tougher matchup for the Wizards, more so than Cleveland, which is bizarre. So the question then goes to, do you try to lose to avoid them, which they play tonight when we're recording this, Boston and Cleveland. And so do you try to rest guys to avoid Cleveland, or do you not try to matter, or does it matter, or where are you guys at with that? Because I think to me that's the number one kind of question. Now, granted, you can't ask a player – I can't ask Scott Brooks or John Wall that, because you know they're going to give you coach or player speak, right? Well, we'll just play who we want to play. Right. Or, you know, and I was talking to another friend, a colleague, Adam Rubin, last night, and he's worried about the Bucks. He's like, he's analyzing who's going to get the fifth seed. Yeah. And whether or not the Hawks and the Bucks and all this. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I get it, man. Like, I understand. But I'm like I have bigger fish to fry, and yet you're right. You're correct. Like, I should – I can't believe a team that's won, you know, a handful of playoff series in the last 20 years, I'm sitting there talking about how to advance the NBA Finals and looking for the best possible route. I can't believe I'm doing that before we have got that far. But to me, like, that's what I was thinking about, and, you know, that's what we do as podcasters or people talk about this team. So, you know, just set aside that we win the first round, because if we don't win the first round, it's a debacle and a disappointment no matter who they play. Second round, do you think that they rest players to avoid Cleveland? Should they not try to avoid Cleveland? Just let it play out? Or how do you feel like this matchup could be? Because in a sense, you're still going to have to play on the road in the second round, so it doesn't really matter. And my take was, do I want to beat Cleveland in the second round? And it's like we beat the NBA champs. We beat LeBron, the bugaboo, and then all of a sudden we're, you know, on a low to play Boston or Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals. Or do we take out Boston in the second round and then play Cleveland, who's banged up, in the kind of final? So when we finally do beat Cleveland, it would be going to the NBA Finals. I know this is a crazy thought experiment, but I would like to hear your thoughts, both of your thoughts on that.
I think, first of all, I don't think we're really going to have any say in it. Kyle Lowry is playing tonight. They're going to try to
for the Raptors?
Yes. So I'm sure they're going to try to work him back in, actually, you know, play all their guys, try to win these games. We're a game behind them already. I don't think it's a matter.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, you're saying, like, the Raptors could just make it obsolete.
Yeah, it's not going to be up to the Wizards, I don't think. So that's not something that they're going to have to think about, which would be my point that I don't think you try to duck anybody. I think you just play who you play, especially with the kind of guys that are on this team.
So would you prefer to play Cleveland in the second round of the East Conference Finals, or do you think it doesn't matter?
I would, as a fan, I want to see it happen in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Correct.
It's like the boss level.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it would mean more. First of all, it just means that we've gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals.
But yes, I know.
I just think it would mean a lot more to be the first team that – because if Cleveland goes out in the second round, everyone's going to say, you know, this is like a new era for LeBron. The team was particularly weak. I think if they go out in the Eastern Conference Finals, people are going to say this team just beat them, you know, stop LeBron from going to his sixth straight final. I just think it would be a bigger achievement, bigger stage. That would mean more to me.
I think in terms of the season, you just kind of, I mean, just let it ride. And I think the underlying, I guess it's kind of risen to the surface over the past weekend. But John Wall's technical foul threshold, he only needs one more until he gets suspended. I think he's got to try and get that technical foul in one of these next couple games.
It doesn't carry over.
Oh, it doesn't carry over?
No,
oh,
you get a fresh slate for the playoffs.
Oh, I thought for sure. Okay, never mind. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think it matters. I think I'm with you, Dave, that, you know, getting the Eastern Conference Final, most important, and, you know, if it's LeBron there, then it will be more of an exciting run, but I don't know. I'm just excited for playoff basketball. I guess I think I'm honestly more excited.
I'm overthinking this, but it's just something curious that I'm actually – this matters more to – you know, that I'm thinking about the next round than I am this one, and maybe I will be, you know, proven wrong. Is there any team that of the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Bucks, who do you want to see most and least in the first round? I mean, I think maybe that's more like I should just stay with that lane right there.
And actually, that's what I was going to say. I think I'm probably more focused on that because I don't want anything to do with the Bucks at all. I think if there's any team that's going to beat the Wizards or anyone really, I mean, I think they could stick it to the Raptors or the, you know, maybe the Celtics or the Cavs, but definitely the Wizards or the Raptors. And so I don't want anything to do with them. Would love to play the Hawks or the Bulls. And then the Pacers, if they, you know, are in the mix, you know, that's fine. I'm probably neutral on them, but no to the Bucks, yes to the Bulls and the Hawks. Probably the Bulls first, but
you, Dave, do you have any preference in the first round?
Yeah, I think the Hawks would definitely be ideal.
They seem they're declining, and I'd like to kind of make up for that that loss a couple years ago as well. Totally. Personally.
Yeah. That would be nice if the Hawks could grab the 5 seed. Honestly, none of the teams, they all have, you know, if it's Chicago, we all saw what Dwayne Wade did in the playoffs last year. Jimmy Butler can obviously, you know, go crazy. I think Giannis, yeah, is probably the thing to be most afraid of. There's no way of knowing what he could do in a playoff series. So, yeah, that's probably my least favorite, and then Hawks would be ideal.
Adam,
I think Bucks at least, because they kicked the shit out of the Wizards this year. But what's weird about the Bucks now is that you have Parker out, but Middleton back.
Yeah.
So it's weird to see what kind of team they'll have, but there is no answer they have for the Greek Freak. And so that is scary. I still think the Wizards would prevail, but I think that they would beat they'd probably beat the Bucks maybe in 6 and the Hawks in 5. Something like that, right? So,
yeah. Anything you want to get off your chest before you depart?
Yeah, I wanted your take of the, you know, I interviewed last night in the locker room Mr. Brandon Jennings. He kept it real about his push to JaVale McGee. And as Wizards fans, podcasters, we have a history of Mr. JaVale McGee. And I was just, before we go into the JaVale McGee aspect at all, he was – you know, I just straight up – it was funny because, like, Brandon Jennings, man, like, I wasn't even trying to go certain ways. I just got asked him about the situation and what his players thought or the coach thought. And, you know, Scott Brooks was pissed. I mean, Scott Brooks said he was asked about it in his pregame last night before the game. And you could he gave a bunch of coaches-speak answers, but you read between the lines. He was like – I mean, he called a timeout at the end of the game with 7 seconds because he was pissed. And then he said Kerr – texted him. I'm sure everyone listening to this knows what I'm talking about, so I don't need to refresh what happened the other night in Golden State at the end of the game. I just wanted your guys' takes. I have a podcast. I'm going to play this Brandon Jennings interview. I just wanted your takes of what you thought of that situation, as in how it went, because all the writers on Truth About It had all different perspectives. I mean, even being biased Wizards fans, we all have different perspectives because, like, you know, you try to be fair somewhat, you know. Even though I'll tell you how Warriors fans act, and they are some punks. But keep. I'm just curious of what you guys felt about that situation. I mean, not some like unwritten rules like the baseball likes to do, but just more in the sense of the fallout and the reaction, and anything that happens with the Warriors becomes a national story. So I was just I would like to know your guys' takes on what you saw at the end of that Warriors game.
Well, Dave loves Brandon Jennings, so why don't you get into it?
Yes.
So, I do also. I like JaVale McGee. I'm thrilled he's not a Wizard anymore.
Oh, you do? Wow! You like JaVale McGee?
I like him as a person. I think he's funny. I'm very glad he's not on the Wizards. I think the unwritten rule thing is pretty dumb. To get mad at that, I don't know if you saw, there was a video somebody put on Reddit of all the times the Wizards were jacking threes up by 20 at the end of a game. And then the same thing happened when the Raptors got all mad, and then a video came out of DeMar DeRozan throwing down a huge dunk at the very end of a game they'd already won. I think those are pretty silly just from an outsider's perspective, but, you know, apparently enough guys take it seriously enough. And I love that Brandon Jennings is always trying to fight people.
Yes. He's already got a gun. Ejected, like with the motion with a gun in Phoenix, right?
And that,
like, he's already got into it.
That was like, what, his second, third game as a Wizard?
That was not even his fight. It was Jason Smith going against Jed Dudley.
Right. He's like, I don't know who this guy is, but I know he's on my team, so I'm going to go over there and finger gun the shit out of Jared Dudley for him.
Yeah, like the whitest white man and the whitest black man going, like, trying to, the most unathletic guys trying to push each other. It's like, what is happening? And Jennings just like, actually, I thought it was unfair. He should have gone to the finger gun motion, I guess, is an automatic injection NBA. I mean, kind of like the throat slash, I believe, maybe in the NFL.
Yeah. But I love the that edge that Brandon Jennings has brought. I especially think it's funny that he's the tiniest guy on the team. And he's always out there mixing. I think since Nene left, we haven't had somebody that will go out there and just kind of hit somebody after the play. And then after the game be like, yeah, I hit him because I was angry with him and I'll do it again.
his quotes were great.
And I really appreciate that kind of energy, especially a guy off the bench. He's been around a long time. I don't know. I just think that's like a good guy to have on your team, like a real wild card.
The unwritten rule stuff is so stupid. Yeah. So stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but there are tons of guys that are like, you know, if Steve Kerr is apologizing for it, there is some, you know.
I guess.
What's funny too is that the end of, like, and I was getting mad at the time, it was that the Wizards sat their starters throughout the whole fourth quarter. Now the bench did cut it down to, I think, 9 points with like 4 minutes left. And the Warriors went back up. There was 2 minutes. They're up 13 points. With 2 minutes, they call a timeout. That's when they should have taken out Draymond and Steph Curry. They do not. Steph Curry hits a floater with a minute left and does a little dance. And then Draymond, who needed 2 points for a triple-double, shoots a three-pointer with 30 seconds left.
Yep.
And makes it. And so then I was like, who else? Like, what other stars are hunting for triple doubles and doing dances up 20 points when the starters of the other team, who you're a lot better than? That was the point that pissed me off. And then all of a sudden, then Brandon Jennings just pushes JaVale McGee and all shit breaks loose. But I was actually more pissed about those two things than I was actually like JaVale McGee shooting a three because the shot clock's going down, right? But then Brandon Jennings' point, so I asked him in the locker room, what I was telling you, is that. So I was like, so I said that things, and he goes, yeah, I saw that video. He's like, he starts talking about his Twitter mentions blowing up. He's like, listen, man, you play this game as long as I've been playing, you know what to do, not know what to not to do.
Right.
And that's something you don't do. And he goes, those things of those those plays was Trey Burke and Thomas Satoransky a guard. He goes, on the Warriors, if some guard would have shot a three, I wouldn't have cared. But when the big man who doesn't shoot threes shoots a three right in front of me, then I'm gonna punch him.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair point.
Like, I was like, ah, man. So then I asked him if it ever had. And I was like, okay, I got his point. I mean, because he came from a different perspective than I did. Like I was, because I asked him, I was like, well, are you not mad that Draymond and Steph Curry were flexing on you like that? He's like, listen, man, they're the champs. They've been in the finals. They're the best team in the league. Like they get it. They can front like that if they want to front. So his point was like, you can keep the best players in, but don't have a big man shooting three in front of my face at the end of the game. And he felt insulted by that. I thought that was an interesting take. That was not my viewpoint, but that's what he came from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are all sorts of nuances to it that we'll never understand. We haven't been playing like elite basketball our whole lives. But did you see last night he was tweeting a little bit and then deleted his tweets when JaVale McGee was getting into it?
What did he say?
Well, did you see JaVale almost got into a fight with
not sure.
I don't remember. Last night. But JaVale McGee, he tweeted Brandon Jennings tweeted people would respect him more if he cut off that weak duck tail.
Well, you know what's funny too is that so I'm interviewing with, you know, all this history of JaVale McGee, right? And it's when I asked Jennings, it's like, you know, he has no ties. I mean, John Wall is the only one with any ties that played with JaVale McGee on the team. And I was like, well, hey, did you know the history of JaVale McGee in this organization? Like, did it matter like that? And to him, it was more Shaq and the Fool. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I hope they put that on Shaq and the Fool. He's like, what's he? Like, to me, he was more disrespected that the Shaq and the Fool star was shooting a three against him in blowout than he was about, like, it could have, you know what I mean? Like, in his point he made, he's like, so I said, he's like, if he goes in that those films when it's Satoransky and Burke, he's like, that wasn't Yao Mahimi shooting a three, was it? That's what he said to me.
He's like,
if it was Yao Mahimi shooting a three, he doesn't shoot a three, then Yao Mahimi, he might get punched. He didn't say it like that, but that's what his point was.
Right.
But I think the fact that it was JaVale McGee of all the bigs, right? Like if it was Maurice Spates or Zsa, I don't think Jennings gets as pissed about and doesn't feel like his punked about as now the Shaq and the Fool thing that JaVale has, right?
Yeah,
with him, which I think is a whole kind of NBA culture thing that we see as fans, but like they talk and go online and see it as well. It's just a different thing, right?
Right, and especially if JaVale hits that three, he's gonna run down the court with his fingers up like an idiot. Like nobody wants to see that happen.
It's embarrassing.
No. Here's another part too. Is that I forgot to ask Brooks about the timeout. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, coach called that timeout 6 seconds. I forgot that. Brooks called timeout. He told me he's in the huddle. He goes, how many more timeouts we got, coach? Just call them all. he told Scott Brooks. I laughed my ass off.
I would have loved to see that.
I was like, just keep calling him. Keep calling him. Because I was like, that's great. But you can tell that Scott Brooks still is pissed at Kerr. So, I don't know. It's very interesting. But I got to go, fellas. I'm glad we ended on that note. But, hey.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Dave. That was great. You know, I love what you guys do. I appreciate that we're in this community that you can have, you know, we're technically rivals, but fuck that shit. I'm glad that this is, that we have people that listen to us and everyone that is listening to, I think this is the same preaching thing I said last time I was on, but I appreciate what you do, this passion, both of you, to talk about this basketball team because it has been rough and tough and we have some fun times ahead and I'm really excited and pumped. And I just wanted to give you guys props for all the energy and effort that you put into this basketball team. And we, you know, good times ahead. And so hopefully you guys can have me on and maybe I'll get you on my show as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Up.
Yeah. If you want to line up for a post game slot, we'd be happy to have you after one of these playoff games.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We'll get you back on then. We'll hash it out off air. Adam McGinnis is his name. Truthaboutit.net is the website. Pixel and Roll is the podcast. And at Adam McGinnis, the Twitter handle. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, you fellas, man. You guys chop it all out. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
peace out.
See you, dude. Okay, big thanks again to Adam McGinnis. We will have him on the pod at some point during the postseason after a game. I'm going to actually, whenever the schedule comes out, I'll line up some guests. Would love to have Jake Whitaker as well. And our friend Malcolm Johnson. Mm. new father, actually. Shout out to Malcolm.
Oh, that's
awesome. There's no chance he listens, but huge error on my part to not have him on. So hopefully, maybe we can get him on after one of these games. But
I'm sure he's got plenty of free time now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, so see, that was the thing. Like, he lives in Florida, so I don't know what's going on with his life. And I happened to be thinking about it. I was like, oh man, we haven't had Malcolm on. And a couple days later, pops up. He's got a kid now. And I was like, oh, I don't really know if I want to ask him to come on now because, you know, he's a busy man.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. But definitely Adam on the post game shows, one of them coming up. But until then, we have a bunch of L's to talk about, unfortunately. We do have a victory. We'll get to that one first. This week in John Wall and a little pop culture detour. Since we last spoke, Wiz, 3-1, not anything we didn't really expect. We tried really hard to will that Clippers victory, beforehand. Yeah. It didn't really work. That's okay. We'll touch on that a little bit later since it's been a while. But, I mean, they did play hard in all these games, really. I mean, there's not anything, it's not like the Golden State one was really the biggest punt game for them, and you know, that's fine. I mean, that's a buzzsaw team right there. I think that was like their 11th straight win or something. They'd beaten Houston twice and San Antonio in the same week. So there was no way the Wizards were waltzing in there to take the victory. But big picture, March, toughest month of the season, they got out 11-7. And I think, you know,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, when we looked at the schedule, I mean, we talked about it for like when the Wiz were riding high, we were like, oh, shit, this March schedule is right. Going to be brutal. And 11-7 is very respectable for what they had to go through.
Yeah, that's true. It was, you know, throughout the entire season, even at the very beginning when we were breaking down the schedule, we were like, this is not going to go well for us in March. But won almost all the games we should have won. Took a couple that we probably weren't favored to win.
Yeah, it's all good. And they locked up home court. Got the Southeast Division, and you know we talked about it at length with Adam, but I think at this point you just kind of got to let it ride. So you know wherever they fall, you know we'll just cross that bridge when we get to it in the playoffs. Let's start with the victory though, the lone victory since we last spoke. The Wiz beat the Hornets at home. They got that road stank off them. It took them a half to wake up, but they get it done, 118-111. Kemba Walker unstoppable in that first half. I went to the game, enjoyed watching him in person. Didn't see that coming.
He's pretty fun to watch now that he can shoot. Mm-hmm. I actually did not see the first half.
That was for the best then.
Yeah, but I came in, they were down 12 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they pretty much took over right away and never looked back.
Yeah, John and Brad, huge third quarter. Jason Smith was awesome in this game. He was. It was cool to see him in the first half. He was all fired up about the Wizards' lack of defense. Was giving Otto a hard time at one point. Let's see how many points he scored here. 17 points, and what did he shoot from three? He went 5 for 9 from three, which is just insanity there. So good on him. 5 rebounds to add to it. He's been on fire, which is great. You know, I mean, if Markieff Morris, he's slumping a little bit. I think he actually got in foul trouble. Probably halfway through the second quarter, had to be pulled. Jason Smith was flew off the bench to get back in, and you know, just good to have a competent backup power forward. Imagine that.
Yeah, Morris played 21 minutes. Jason Smith, 24.
Mm-hmm. Hey, not the worst thing as this season winds down.
Yeah.
So the bench, even, I mean, I thought at one point that the bench was going to put it away. They played for the full first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. They got the lead to like 12. I think if they made like one or two more shots and got it to like 17, 18, they probably would have stayed in the rest of the game. But, Brad and John come back in and they played with Oubre, Jan, and I can't remember if it was, Boyan or Jason Smith they were in there with, but I thought that was interesting. I enjoyed the look of it. Can't remember the last time they did that. But then they, you know, they kept Oubre in. They brought Otto back in. I really like the Otto Oubre look as well.
Yeah.
Oubre drilled a bunch of big shots. John making some great passes to get those done as well.
And he hit three threes last night, didn't he? John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was killing it. So, I mean, slightly lackadaisical down the stretch there. But otherwise, you know, they lock it up. And
they said Brooks really reamed him out at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Beal that said that Brooks has a dark side
that
people don't know about?
All over the place today, the dark side of Scott Brooks.
And then John Wall said, you know, Brooks asked him at halftime if they want to win or if they want to quit or something like that, and that they all really took that to heart. So good for them to turn around. They needed that game just for their morale, I think. And totally. Charlotte was desperate, came in hot. Just really, there's nothing they could do, really.
I think they're one of three teams with 30 wins at home, something like that, in the NBA. Pretty impressive. I think they only have one more home game, maybe two. I actually have the schedule. Yeah, just one more, Miami, Saturday. So, yeah, great year in the phone booth. And I actually want to do a quick phone booth review because I went to the game, just on my experiences here. Sat in one of the upper deck corners. It was fine. Tickets were cheap, but I had a weird handshake discussion thing go on in front of me. There was a guy sitting next to me, a couple people behind us. This guy rolls up around halftime in a suit. He had a jersey on. He had like a big puffy pocket square coming out of the suit jacket and then like headphones.
So wait, he was wearing, explain to me what this looks like. So
a tan suit.
Okay, but did he have a dress shirt on, a jersey, and then a suit jacket?
I think he did have the dress shirt on under the jersey.
And then the suit jacket over the jersey?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, yeah. So he walks up. He knows all these people, and they're chatting. He, like, daps up the guy next to me, but it went on, and it's, like, right in my face. And it goes on for probably, like, 6 seconds, maybe then, like, the two. You know, you're reaching over someone, you're into their face, and it goes on for a little too long. Then these guys start talking, and the guy sitting next to me is like, oh, you get my text message the other day. He's like, oh, no, I didn't get your text. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I sent it on, like, Sunday or whatever. They didn't discuss, like, what they were talking about over text, but the guy was like, oh, I was at the beach. And that's all he said. And the guy was like, well, I have it. I texted you right here. And he's like, oh, so, did you text it to my number? And he's, like, recounting. It's so awkward. The guy, like, totally ignored him. He could have even just, if he would have been straight up, it would have been less awkward. But I was horrified by the whole thing.
You should have just told him to get the hell out of there. You're trying to watch the Wizards.
Well, then he was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go talk to Claire. I'll be back in a couple minutes, you guys. And he never came
never
back.
Never came back. So good.
I hope they sorted it out. But
I hope they didn't.
That was awkward, but entertaining. I decided I wasn't going to drink last night. So instead, I wanted some Mountain Dew. And then I got up to the self-serve thing, and the souvenir cups were John Wall. And, like,
smart.
I was like, ah, you know what? I'll spend $9 on a Mountain Dew. Sure, why not? But then I guess I drank all the Mountain Dew throughout the game, which I did. That's a lot of dew. It's like a small barrel. It's like 32 ounces, I think.
Isn't the scuttlebutt around the elementary school that if you drink Mountain Dew, your sperm count
decreases? Yes. I don't know if that is scientifically proven, but yes,
sounds right.
That was, I mean, man, that was a thing when we were kids. That and Surge killed your sperm count, made your wiener little. But yeah, then I came home and I was like all jittery, and then I eventually like crashed on it, which I haven't crashed on like caffeine and sugar and I don't know how long, and I just felt like hungover almost. That was weird.
Should have just had some beers.
Yeah, I made the mistake, but I know better for next time. And then on that note, we brought it up. We were talking over the weekend, just for the people, just a note, when you go to the phone booth or really any sporting event, find the beer with the highest alcohol volume in it, because that's your most economical way to get drunk. The Snake Dogs there, they're like $8, maybe even $9, but they're 7%, 16 ounce. Bless you.
Thank you.
And, yeah, so if you're going to get drunk, I mean, that's really the only way to do it.
Yeah, it's by far the best option. I'm glad that they have them there.
Yeah, they didn't have them last year, I think, and then they came back. They had those Goose Island IPAs, which are like 6%.
Those aren't bad.
They're pretty good, but like I'm gonna be a snob here. I don't drink IPAs that are less than like 6.8%.
Ooh, that is, well, yeah. I mean, that's pretty snobby to say, but what's the point?
Right. I mean, if anything, like, it, honestly, if I'm being truly honest, like, 7 is my, like, threshold. If I see 6.8, I can live with it. But, like, 6.5, I'm out.
Get out of here.
Yeah, not worth it. Might as well just drink some Bud Lights or some Weisers, you know? That's my take. So, yeah, good time in the phone booth. I hope I get to go back for a playoff game and try and wrangle tickets. I wonder how the ticket market will be this time around. Last time it was pretty cheap. We went to I called Game Not Bank game, and I mean, I think we got tickets for like $24.
I didn't go to that one.
Well, about the same. I mean, you think they'll be up? Down?
They've been up across the board this year, in my experience. But we'll see. I mean, maybe playing the Bucks will be a good thing if that happens, or Atlanta. I mean, either of those are a huge draw, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, good times at the phone booth. We'll keep pedaling back here. We don't have to dwell on any of these too long. On Sunday, though, I will miss these. Actually, we might get some playoff games. I like the early evening basketball game on a Sunday. That's great. So they were in that time slot, but I guess actually this was at 8 o'clock, but close enough. The Wiz weren't ever really in this game. There was a point in the second quarter where they were down 2, and maybe they could grab the lead, and that didn't happen. They were down 8 at halftime, never really recovered. They were kind of in it. The bench kind of got them back in it a little bit in the fourth quarter, but at that point, the starters were definitely not getting back up. But hats off to the bench for, you know, hanging in there, staying competitive, and then Brandon Jennings, man, getting into it with JaVale McGee, which I thought was fun.
It was fun. What wasn't fun, the backlash, a lot of people like, oh, the Wizards are little babies or whatever, but.
A lot of dissension on, like, if you fall into, I think, our camp where you're like, this is dumb, like, this is a dumb thing to be mad about. Then you get people on Twitter being like, have you ever even competed before, bro? like, dude, come on. A lot of that. I don't like that. Like,
yeah.
Have you even played basketball?
Yeah. I think the proper take on it, because it's my take, is that it's a dumb thing, but also like a fun one. Like, how doesn't that, I mean, that made the game more fun, got people talking about it.
Right.
Nobody got hurt.
Right. Otherwise, I mean, it's just a boring Wizards loss. And they got crushed. Like, Steph Curry dropped 42. Big deal. I think we should be able to decide what people are allowed to whine about with the Wizards and what they aren't.
You mean you and me personally?
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe Gary can get in on it, but he'll have to earn his way back into our graces.
We'll make a new Twitter account, and when somebody is out of line, we'll just say, you're not allowed to do this anymore.
A lot of whine. I mean, just... I guess this is probably a good thing because the Wizards have been playing well, so a lot of complaining on Twitter about dumb things like this. Dumb resting problems. I mean, just... Who knows? Anyway. Utah, loser. 95-85. Utah seems to have the Wizards number. I'm sorry. 95-88. Excuse me. Seem to have the Wizards number.
I actually was pretty pleased with this outcome, given, you know, we were on this road trip playing in Utah, and how badly Utah whooped us last time. I thought this was, you know, we played pretty good offensively, or mm-hmm. I mean defensively. Couldn't score, but nobody can score against the Jazz. It was just Gordon Hayward hitting a bunch of crazy shots. I didn't think the reffing was especially great. I'm not a big like ref complainer, but I just think they didn't referee Gobert in the same way as our guys, which made it tough. But
I think Utah, I mean, right now they're in the 4 slot in the West. They'd play the Clippers if the playoffs ended today. I mean, I think they could definitely beat the Clips.
Oh yeah, I would for sure favor them over.
And I think whoever out of that, if they, you know, they get to the second round, whoever those other top 3 teams, like, they're going to have a long, protracted, ugly, painful series. So,
yeah, especially if they can stay healthy. They've been injured all year, and mm-hmm. they're still going to win 50 games. So, and they're just such a bad matchup for us. So I was okay, totally okay with a 7-point loss. The Wiz did some complaining after this one too.
John let him rip.
Yep.
Let him have it. He said, let's start the show. And then he just leaned back into his chair kind of like you do and just let him have it, you know?
So, I don't have a problem with that either.
No, definitely not. John, and he said as much. He's been quiet because of the technical foul situation that he's been in, so he hasn't really done as much complaining about the refs or, you know, unfairly or not. But, happy he let it fly.
$15,000 poor. Is that it?
But, yeah. It's okay. He'll live. Somehow. And then one more game for us right here to gloss over. Losers to the Clippers, 133 to 124. Whoa, did you see that game last night? Didn't work, unfortunately. No, it didn't. I tried so hard to stay up for this, and I listened to the whole pod last week back over. Got halfway through the third quarter, and I was like, I just can't. I did it the night before against the Lakers. I couldn't do it again.
It was just atrocious defense. One of those games where from, you know, even before halftime, you're the only positive you hope to take out of the game is you just hope that it doesn't, like, carry over, that nothing that happened in that game ever happens again. J.J. Redick was just lighting us up. The defense was atrocious. Yeah, they gave up 74 in the first half. Yeah, that wasn't great.
They inched close, you know, end of the third quarter, end of the fourth, but never really enough. Oh, well, that's such a tough stretch. Clippers, Utah, Golden State. I mean, it's okay. So in terms of what they have left to do here, so there's four games left. They got New York on Thursday, likely when you'll be listening. They get Miami on Saturday for the last home game of the year. Then they go to Detroit on Monday, and then they play at Miami on Wednesday. So we've spent a lot of time talking about what do the Wizards want to do here in terms of seeding. Obviously, they have home court locked up, but, you know, do your best to beat these teams, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm not too pressed on it. I mean, obviously, I think, honestly, If anything, if we're prioritizing anything here with the rest of the regular season, getting to 50 games would be the big one. Doesn't matter who they align themselves against in the second round. 50 games is the goal at this very moment, and, you know, that's kind of it, for me at least.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to come down to that last game of the season. I don't think it's a stretch to say that we're probably going to beat the Knicks and the Pistons. Their seasons are over. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything to play for. But the Heat are obviously, you know, making their playoff push. So if we can beat them once, we'll get to 50. If not, we won't.
That is fine by me.
But if we can win those three, so Knicks, Heat at home, and then the Pistons, we'll be at 50. We'll probably, you know, still be locked into the four seed, and then we can decide what we want to do, you know, when we play the Heat on the last day of the year. That game might have some implications as far as...
Atlanta in the sixth slot to Miami is basically separated by two games. If you throw Milwaukee in there, it's three, so...
So something that I would like to happen, just... to see some chaos, get some people riled up, is if, you know, Miami needs to win that last game and they make the playoffs, and then the Wizards then hold it in their hands and they maybe say, oh, we're just going to rest everybody.
Oh, Miami's in.
Paul George, you're out. Sorry.
Oh, man, that would be so much. I mean, they're going to be a real problem for whoever. I mean, if they can grab the 8 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston or Cleveland, that's going to be some troubles.
Yeah.
That would be, I didn't even consider. Always root for chaos. I feel like that's just a general. If you're a sports fan, you don't root for chaos in general.
Yep.
You're boring. Sorry. Let's just gloss over. You know what? I'm not even gonna play the music, Dave, because I mean we're recording this now. The Cavs and the Celtics are either underway or about to get underway.
Yeah, and the Raptors are playing.
So, I mean, this is meaningless here, but I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly in terms of a playoff picture in the East.
The Raptors are getting stomped. I mean, it's the end of the first quarter.
That's relevant to my interest.
They're down by 18.
You know what sound we should play, though?
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizard.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall.
I think the A block here in terms of John Wall stories, he is your single season leader in assists in Wizards franchise history. He broke it with 802 assists. I'm trying to find what his total here is. Give me just one second. He's got 815 as of time of recording.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So he breaks that record. I can't remember which game it was. But we should also note, while we're in here in This Week in John Wall, that Brad broke the single season record for threes made for the Wizards franchise. So that is also some exciting news there. Let's pay homage to Brad.
I'm not a big fat panda. I'm the big fat panda.
Double up there. So record-breaking seasons from these guys. Brad's 23 years old.
Yep.
This is great. This is what they signed him for.
Yeah, he's got the career Wizards threes record in his sights as well. I'm pretty sure.
Damn.
Yeah, I think it's Gilbert Arenas. So. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's whose record he broke to take the single season. Very cool. Very cool.
Maybe this time next year we'll be doing the weekend Beal. We'll have to come up with a better name than that, but we'll have to do both of them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm down. In other John Wall news here, we've talked about resting and whatnot. I brought up, I didn't realize that the techs don't carry over into the playoffs. So before that, I was like, oh yeah, he's got to get that tech out of the way. They do that a lot in soccer where they're like, oh, he's got a yellow card. Let's get him a second one so he can sit the next game and play the important one after that. So
that's stupid.
That was my train of thought. But I'm a Barcelona soccer guy. I've seen it in the Champions League before. They don't, like, the yellow cards aren't absolved every round. So like you'll be playing like a semifinal match and like the guy will be like, they'll have to get him a second yellow card so he can play in the championship. Like,
that's crazy.
What a waste. So dumb. So that's out the window. But as we said before, steep $15,000 fine for ripping the refs after Utah. And according to Candace Buckner, he's been fined a total of $55,000 this season. So that's a lot of money. I can't relate. On resting, I liked his answer. I think he said this yesterday. I've missed enough games in my career already. So more athlete speak.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had the balls to ask him about resting in the locker room. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, everyone. Locked On Wizards. We need a podcast. Taking shots over here. Sorry, everyone.
And after all those nice things Adam said about being a community.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. It's true. We are a community, but I just got me riled up on Twitter. A couple drinks and I start seeing those tweets and I'm like, oh boy. Now I'm the one riled up about something dumb. So that's all I got for this week in John Wall. Shall we do a pop culture detour and get out of here?
Sure.
Pop culture detour. That thing needs like a new filter or something on that. I don't know what that's about. What we should mention here, though, no Gary this week. And don't really know what he's doing. It's fine, but actually it's not fine.
He didn't even offer an excuse.
No excuse. And I would have been okay with it, but we were supposed to hang out on Saturday.
Oof, yeah.
He was in and then out in a matter of like 12 minutes, and it really got me miffed.
And then said it was an April Fool's joke.
Ugh, I hate April Fool's jokes. How could he? just a bad egg. He'll have to, you know, like I said, he's going to have to warm back up to us, Dave.
He'll have to answer for his sins.
As far as Pop Culture Detour goes, I watched the end of Legion. I enjoyed that. I'm just waiting for all our shows to come back. Better Call Saul comes back next week.
There's a lot of stuff happening pretty soon here.
Yeah, we're going to have a... That'll be fun, too, with the playoff pods. We can get into current television. The big three right now for us. Saul, Fargo, Leftovers.
Yeah.
Boom.
The three whitest shows on television.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't consider it, but yes. Compelling.
Actually, no. My pick for Pop Culture Detour this week is probably the whitest show on TV. I started watching... I always forget if it's Big Little or Little Big Lies. You know what I'm talking about? The show on HBO. It's pretty compelling stuff. I'm only a few episodes in, but there's like a murder mystery, bunch of rich idiots with some personal problems. Adam Scott is in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. Laura Dern. Reese Witherspoon.
I was going to say Reese.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
I saw a picture of her kids recently. I don't know who she's married to, but like... Her kids creepily look like them.
Isn't she married to Ryan? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Philippi?
Yeah.
Yeah. And their kids, I mean, the daughter looks just like Reese and the son looks just like Ryan. And it bugged me out. I didn't like that. Other than that, I've been keeping up with the Kardashians, of course. all up to date on that.
Pretty good commercial out of
them. Oof, Kendall, what were you thinking, girlfriend?
I mean, that's not... What are the executives at Pepsi thinking?
Total meltdown chain of command there. Like, I believe that somewhere, at some point, the intentions were sincere on that commercial. But, like, you're Pepsi. You're a giant multinational corporation.
Somebody got paid so much money to have that idea and execute it.
Yeah. And Kendall Jenner, it's a lock she got, I mean, north of 500K for sure. Maybe $1 million. I mean, she's a big time name.
That's one of my favorite things when brands really screw up. Like, you see a brand getting sassy on Twitter and you're like, you don't know it, but this is going to end really badly for you. You think this is fun now? This is not going to be fun.
I mean, just reading, like, the replies, like, everyone had jokes on Twitter. That's really all I'm on Twitter. I'm just there for the jokes.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. That's all I got. You got anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, I think this was the perfect episode. We said everything we were supposed to say and didn't say anything we weren't supposed to say.
Perfect. All right, well, as I said, we'll be back next week. Same day. Thursday, we'll drop it. I'll be on an island. We'll talk Wiz. Sorry there won't be any guests. I ideally would have liked to get the guests. It's eating me inside, but
find some dude in
Antigua.
Yeah, that's not it. Antigua.
Actually, I'll share this. There's a butler service. We're going to an all-inclusive place, and we have like someone who will like reserve pool chairs for us, and we'll stock the beer with fridge with the stock the fridge with beer. So maybe I'll get I think her name's Carol. Maybe I'll get Carol on. Do you think she'll want to talk about Wizards and the NBA?
I think that's probably I would like to see you ask Carol to do that.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay.
All right. So we'll be back then, and then we'll do post game shows moving forward. Again, thanks to Adam McGinnis for joining us. Follow us at Zardcast on Twitter. Subscribe, all that jazz. For my co-host, Dave Keffer, I'm CT Schwink. That was Zardcast. Yeah.